T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Like mine with lettuce and tomato, Heinz 57 and French fried potatoes.
It's been too long since we've had someone sing on this show. I like Chuck Swirsky singing that. That was good.
I wasn't really singing necessarily, but it was still good. I liked it.
Well, what was it?
Just kind of talk singing. Don't you think?
I like mine with lettuce and tomato, Heinz 57 and French fried potatoes.
There's inflection.
Sure, but there's inflection when you talk as well. I mean, if we're going to get technical and take all the fun out of it, that's what I do.
You could.
He sings the chorus, doesn't he?
Cheeseburger in paradise.
Yes.
Making the best of every virtue and vice.
That's singing.
First line. The first line. The chorus, just going back and forth. That's a good method, though. It works, right? Tanny, a lot of rappers slowly developing singing chops will sing one line and not the second or fourth line,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's what Chuck's doing. He's playing a big game. He's over all
playing
of our
the
heads.
Long game when it comes to singing.
Yeah.
All right.
That was awesome because a walk off. It could have been anything. A single off the wall. A catch and a sacrifice fly.
Yeah, as soon as he got the ball to the outfield, game's over.
Might as well take the 4 RBIs, though, and run around and pad the home
stats.
Yeah,
he said with Benetti and Stone, he said he thought the celebration was going to be happening at first base. Like, he didn't think he got all of it. But White Sox sweeping their way into maintaining part of the conversation, man. Seriously. That's what it is.
Sweeping their way into maintaining to be part of the game. It's true.
That's what it is.
It's like Fast and Furious X, the beginning of the end of the road, or the end of the road begins.
Well,
yeah.
We haven't done as many as the window closes recently.
No, we haven't.
Because they've been playing better in games against the division.
Well, let me ask you a question. Does that qualify as a sometimes soap operas are fun. It's fun episodes of soap operas. Every once in a while?
Well, sure.
That was a fun episode of all as the window closes over the weekend.
I obviously still think that's where this is going.
I know.
You know,
but they did win a game with an ump getting hit in the face. So that still qualifies as pretty damn soap opera.
They've had a lot of weird things happen. Yeah, a lot of weird things happen. But we'll have more time to do this because I don't think it's fair necessarily to those of us that are watching the games and fans that still care and they are not out of it. But like everything shouldn't be a referendum on the trade deadline that's 8 weeks from now. You know, we can live in the moment of Kopech's start and Berger's home run and Stroman's start. And we can do any of the baseball minutiae and the stuff that happened over the weekend that we want to. It is possible, though, that if because of how the divisions are set up this year, Jason Stark was writing about it, that there might be fewer sellers than any year in recent history.
Absolutely.
That might really depress the market because a bunch of teams try to buy, only a few teams try to sell. They're the worst team, so they don't have that many good players. Royals, A's, etc.
Rockies, yeah.
Rockies would be another one. That maybe that, like, if that is the case when we get 6 weeks from now, like future Parker's at Spiegel headline, I'll be the guy saying that both teams should sell. Like if there aren't a lot of sellers, that means that the cost of what you sell gets overbid. supply and demand.
In terms of more quickly, yeah, and entering in there.
In terms of the possibility of getting 110 cents on the dollar, 120 cents on the dollar, because the teams that are really desperate to try to win that need to win now, and if there's less inventory available, you overpay.
Yeah.
It's like you get above asking price on your house if there isn't much inventory on the market, right? There are buyer's markets and seller's markets. This would be a seller's market as of now because there are so many teams, quote unquote, in it.
Yeah, no, I think it's true. It's a weird landscape as you look at the standings in that way. And things will develop. It's not obvious who is going to declare themselves a seller or who ought to declare themselves a seller. And the White Sox situation is weird, man. Like your guy Andy McCullough wrote about it on The Athletic as well, that like even if it makes sense for them to sell, they've got some awkward pieces to sell. You know, like what are you going to convince people that they should want Lance Lynn? You know,
dude, what about Tim Anderson? Would you even get for Tim Anderson right now?
Well, TA is a very manageable contract, and he's actually been hitting better over the last 12 games or so.
With no power.
Yeah, no power at all. But the
below average glove at shortstop. Mm-hmm,
but the batting average has been better. I think the World Baseball Classic showing is gonna help maintain some value there for him. The pieces are awkward, you know, so you might end up, you know, wanting to stand pat on some of that stuff. But and during the year, I don't know if you heard this, but Bruce Levine reported on Inside the Clubhouse that Kenny Williams said, quote, "We're going to win the division," unquote. So an awkward Kenny muscle up has happened publicly for the second time this year.
Kenny Williams said, "We're going to win the division," like internally, and Bruce is reporting about that, or he said it to Bruce?
Said it to Bruce, and Bruce reported it on Saturday morning on Inside the Clubhouse. Said that Kenny Williams told him, "We are going to win the division." So that does not sound like anybody who is thinking about selling anytime soon now. Does he make all the decisions? Who can tell? Who knows? In the decades-long query of who's in charge of the White Sox.
The good news is there's just no way that could come back to bite him. I mean, all right, man. Good luck. You could. You obviously could.
Yeah. Well, and saying it confidently and wanting to be confident and wanting to feel it at this point makes all the sense in the world.
And of course, there's a lot of time between now and when you actually have to make a decision on whether or not you act as if you are going to win the division. But it's nice to have belief and optimism and hope. That's a nice thing. Three in New York and then three in L.A. coming up, right? They got the Dodgers coming up after the series against the Marlins.
Three big ones in New York. I don't know if anybody cares, so that's always a good precursor to bring something up, don't you think?
Definitely.
Joe Kelly has been so good and so entertaining. And he had an appearance yesterday where, like, and I know Javi almost took him deep on an eye-high slider, a nice running catch by Robert, but, like, Joe Kelly, like, he was doing the lead foot, the dangler, Casper called it. I don't know if that's what it's called, but, like, the foot comes up, and then it goes back, and then it goes forward, and then it goes to the left. And it's just, he's funky like that. He did a quick pitch earlier in the inning and got stole a strike from a hitter. And then the ump is yelling at Joe Kelly, pissed at him, telling him to pause, even though he has no right to tell him to pause. And, you know, Kelly's had that before with, like, pitch clock stuff. Like, the umpires hate him, and he loves that the umpires hate him, and he doesn't care. Like, he's a very effective and entertaining version of himself at this moment for White Sox fans.
Finally.
Finally, after being a huge negative all last year.
Yeah, well, good, right? Because the overall numbers, you know, in terms of, like, ERA, if you care about that for a relief pitcher, are not great, but he's been trending much better recently, and they're finally getting what they paid for, and it'll come to, is it worth having expensive veteran bullpen arms on a team that's bad, or are those the exact type of pieces that you trade to a contender, right? They're not going to trade Liam Hendricks because of how the contract works. Like, he's on the team for next year, but Joe Kelly might not be. Kendall Graveman might not be, you know, if they go the other direction. So that's the thing. even if you want guys to play well to give yourself a chance at getting back into this thing and making Kenny Williams' words prophetic, but also you want assets that are tradable. If you are going to have to sell, you want more guys playing well.
Oh, man. And Joe Kelly and Kendall Graveman will be very popular names on the trade market if it does get to that. Absolutely. By the way, I did your research project. You remember you gave me a research project on Friday?
Yeah.
Noted baseball historian and statistician Danny Parkins gave me a research project, and I did it for you, sir.
Okay. The research project was because you were talking about position groups in baseball with an OPS under 500.
So the White Sox second basemen are one of just four position groups on any team in baseball with an OPS below 500.
Right.
Along with the Oakland second baseman and the San Diego catchers and the Kansas City Royals center fielders.
Yep.
That's a group right there.
That is a group.
So I looked over the last decade, 2013 to 2022. So total OPS by position for all teams over the last decade. So I've got eight positions. The best ones are the first baseman. The worst first base group is Miami at 713. The worst right field group is Pittsburgh at 702. The worst left field group is the Angels at 690. The worst third base group is the Angels again at 671. That shows you how a team with Trout and Ohtani doesn't do much.
Right. Can't even get replacement-level stuff elsewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Two different positions. Seattle center fielders at 663. Haven't mentioned second baseman yet.
No, I've noticed.
There's three left. Mets catchers at 649 OPS. And the second worst position group of any position or team over the last decade is the Kansas City Royals shortstop at 646. The White Sox second baseman, 645. The absolute worst position group of any team in baseball over the last 10 seasons going into this one.
I think they give out rings for that.
Jerry does.
That's what I'm saying. All right. No position group.
Yes.
For the last decade has had a worse OPS than White Sox second baseman.
That is correct.
Well, at least nobody knew it was a need. That's hilarious.
They see, we're standing there at the precipice of the offseason looking
at
it.
They said the need. They got Elvis Andrus.
Oh, God. I know. I liked Elvis Andrus. I know.
You all did.
No, we didn't.
No.
Watch yourself.
They yelled at
me.
No,
we did not.
They yelled at me. I still like him as a dude. Like,
That's not what we're talking about.
As a leader.
He's a good hang. He's got great restaurant recommendations. No, that's not what we're talking about.
As a veteran who can help people do things the right way in a locker room that doesn't have people who say things loudly.
His name's Elvis. Remember, like the music guy.
Right.
That's right.
The hips.
That's right.
Oh, no. Okay, maybe not you guys, but a lot of White Sox media.
A lot of them did.
A lot of the baseball media in this town was following them. Now, this is a good, sensible move. Finally, a move that we can get behind.
Yes,
oh, what a great idea. Yeah. This is a good idea.
And call up McGuffey. Yell at him. He was right there with it.
It was all of you.
Absolutely. But, yeah, second base, a death trap, as it has been since Ray Durham, essentially.
They drafted one at pick number 3.
God.
Didn't work out.
Yeah. Nick Madrigal. That didn't work.
No.
Was it 3 or was he 4?
I thought India was 4th. Yeah, either way.
It was 4, and then India was 5th, and Jared Kelenic was 6th. Other than that.
Oh, well, then it's fine. 4th.
By the way, this will go along nicely. Leading the major leagues in wins above replacement, according to Fangraphs, number 1 overall, Marcus Semien of the Texas Rangers. One-time White Sox player traded away. His position, let me check, second base.
Just checking your math, I got the same.
Second base.
So White Sox second baseman, worst in baseball.
Yeah.
They are the Bears quarterback of baseball groups in this town?
They are.
And the Bears receivers.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
For a while there, it was Cubs third baseman since Ron Santo.
Until
Aramis is exactly right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Texter, that's not counting this season. So as bad as it's been this year, that's
not.
It
can get worse.
Yeah, it can get worse. Sorry, there's no Bretts. There's no Brett Lowry or Brett Littlebridge or anybody like that.
My favorite thing about the White Sox and Marcus Semien, they liked him so much, they drafted him twice. They drafted him in 2008, and then he didn't sign. And then they drafted him in the sixth round in 2011.
It's a good pick.
And then they just traded him.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good pick.
They liked him so much, they drafted him twice, 3 years apart.
That was...
It would have helped.
What was that trade? That was Oakland.
What do you have?
All right, so another big name in that trade.
Jeff Samardzija, right?
They also sent Chris Bassett away in that trade.
Oh!
And Chef's got Josh Fegley.
Oh, God. Chris Bassett is...
For Samardzija and Michael Inoa.
Oh, boy.
But without Michael Inoa, you don't get Luis Robert. He helped recruit him.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
So take that. Take that as you will.
Makes up for it.
So, yeah, good
job on the research project.
Thank you, Sarah. It's a good project. Good idea. It's a good idea. It makes me want to go back 20 years.
I thought that was what the project was, but I wasn't going to call you out.
Did you do that this weekend to help put you to sleep?
That project? No, I did to prepare for Hit and Run.
Okay.
Which we're going to talk about at 4 o'clock. Hit and Run is going to be a big part of the show today at 4 o'clock. Mm. I think people are going to enjoy it.
There's only one reason Danny really likes
it. I'm real excited for it. I haven't heard it, but I'm real excited. Even if the baseball isn't always good, it does.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.